Know your constituency. The RTE Radio 1 Guide to General Election 2024.
Hello and welcome to Know Your Constituency. This is a podcast map of the general election taking you through all 43 constituencies. If this is the first one you've listened to, we'll be bringing you the information you need to know, the seats, the boundaries, the incumbents, the challengers, and the information you want to know. The infighting, the rivalries, the turf wars, who's nervous about their chances, and who's quietly or not so quietly confident. We'll try to pack all of that into the next few minutes. I'm Colm O'Mungine. I'm joined once again in the podcast studio by RT Radio's Barry Lenehan. He's here for all 43 episodes, and also with us is Cúain O'Sheridan, political correspondent with Radio Na Gaeltachta. Hey guys.
Well, Colm,
how are you doing?
We're back. We're in the heart of the capital for the next one, and some of the big political beasts in the mix. Barry, give us the seats and the seat holders.
Yes, four seats up for grabs here, and all four incumbents stand their ground. The Sinn Féin leader, Mary Lou MacDonald, and also then Pascal Donoghue, the Public Expenditure Minister for Fine Gael, the Green Party's Nasa Horrigan, and Gary Gannon of the Social Democrats.
So, Cúain, no boundary changes in this one in the boundary review. It's as it was.
It's as it was. It's mostly the north inner city. It's bounded to the south by the Liffey. It stretches over in the east as far as East Wall into the port. Very few voters in the port. It's bounded on the west then by the Phoenix Park and to the north by the River Talca and into Drumcondra. Very tight, compact constituency. 127,000 voters in this area.
And pretty diverse in its own way. So what are the big issues that this will be won and lost on throughout the constituency?
Well, one interesting statistic about this constituency is that 44% of voters there are renters. This is well above the national average of about 19%. So I would expect housing and issues to do with tenancy and tenant rights and the renters' tax credits to be big issues in this constituency. Transport will also be a big issue. An awful lot of commuters here, a lot users of public transport, and I also expect crime and safety to be a big issue. This is, after all, where the riots took place in Dublin last November.
All right. Barry, let's get into the runners and riders. But as you know, we have our usual health warnings to emphasise here. All of this is at the time of recording. Nominations haven't closed as we're speaking, so some names could still be added to the ticket, and you'd be reappearing later on if we have any updates, if we have any significant news on finalised nominations. But for now, looking at the runners and riders, where do you want to start?
Yeah, well, all eyes, I think, will be on this constituency when the campaign gets underway proper. You have lots of rivalries, potential for bitterness between candidates, a lot of history between some candidates as well, not to mention the count the last time. You had 800 votes between five candidates at one stage vying for three seats, with contenders moving up like a game of snakes and ladders. So this one, really, for the political anoraks amongst us, for anyone, is going to be edge of the seat stuff. But let's start with the poll top. The last time, Sinn Féin's Mary Lou MacDonald, the Sinn Féin president, last time she got 36%, 1.79 of a quota, records usually set by Bertie Ahern around here. She could have got in a running mate. She didn't have it on that occasion. She does have it this time, Mary Lou, in Janice Boylan, Sinn Féin pursuing a two-candidate strategy. And you recall how in 2022 relations had actually soured between Mary Lou MacDonald and Janice Boylan, but those seem to have been cleared up subsequently. But what I'm hearing on the ground from local sources, from party officials, is that ultimately Sinn Féin, they had that gargantuan vote in 2020. And even if there is somewhat of a recovery in their national poll rating, the feeling locally is that there's no second seat for the party here this time. In the local elections here, they took around 16% of the vote across the constituency. And many feel that Mary Lou, whilst maybe hitting the quota on the first count, that again, there's no second seat and her vote will be down.
And so far, at least one candidate, Cúain, from the Sinn Féin gene pool, Christy Burke, who a number of years ago fell out with the party. He had been a prominent councillor, indeed even Lord Mayor of Dublin City Council, but now running as an independent.
Well, yes, he said to the Irish Times in May that when Michael D goes, the Pope goes, Donald Trump goes, that he might consider retiring. Well, Michael D is still in office, the Pope's still in office, and Donald Trump may be about to be back in office. So I'm fairly sure Christy Burke will be running in this next election, and he's sure to take a good chunk of the vote. He got 10.2% of first preferences in 2016, 4.8% in 2020. It will probably be a little bit lower this time with Janice Boylan running, but he'll still be in around 2 or 3% on the first count, and that will have an impact. Claire Daly of Independence for Change, the former MEP and TD, is going to run in Dublin Central, and that's obviously going to have a massive impact on the race.
Yeah, this is really throwing the cat among the pigeons at the 11th hour in Dublin Central, as if the constituency was already not box office enough in terms of plot lines, storylines, candidates and so on. Of course, Claire Daly losing her seat in the European elections in the Dublin constituency in June, but then a TD before that in the old Dublin North and in Dublin Fingal as well, where she was quite the prolific vote getter, indeed in the 2016 election, comfortably re-elected with 15% of the vote. Now, there had been some indication locally that she was planning to run. She'd held a public meeting in the area relatively recently in early October on the Occupied Territories Bill, and of course public meetings and posters always a stepping stone perhaps to running in a Dáil constituency. And so Claire Daly in Dublin Central, and really it poses quite the number of questions for some of the candidates, particularly on the left and also some of the independents as well.
All right. What about the parties of coalition? I suppose it's worth splitting it into Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael on one side and the Greens and the other, who might be competing for different votes. Pascal Donoghue, good name recognition, has his own sort of constituency machine ongoing. We know certainly he has a good postering campaign as well. How's he likely to fare? And is there finally a Fianna Fáil breakthrough here in the form of Mary Fitzpatrick? Many times bitten but not shy.
That's it, yes. Running once again is Mary Fitzpatrick, having been unsuccessful famously in 2007 when running with Bertie Ahern in 2011 and 2016 and 2020, and stands again here in 2024. Fine Gael here, of course, Pascal Donoghue, he accrued 19% of the vote in 2011, but last time, you remember, there was distress signals around Pascal Donoghue. People thought he might lose his seat and there was a big push, a rear guard action to get him over the line. But Fine Gael sources locally in Dublin Central on this occasion, no distress signals. He's standing by himself on this occasion. He had a running mate this time, and perhaps an expectation that he might get towards the quota on the first count. On Mary Fitzpatrick, the assessment is less positive, shall we say. In the local elections here across the constituency, Fianna Fáil accrued just 9% of the vote, which was less than half a quota, which the golden rule is you need half a quota to be in contention for a seat. Fianna Fáil top brass feel she may get in around 12.5%. She got 10% the last two elections. And again, that 9% figure, it doesn't look too good for Mary Fitzpatrick, one would expect, on this occasion.
All right. Cúin, for the other party of coalition, the Green Party, Neasa Horrigan would be a semi-detached member of that. She's lost the whip on occasion in the lifetime of this government. Will that stand to her, and is there a Green seat here, do you think?
I think it may. The Greens performed very well in the local elections across this constituency, electing several councillors there and 2,843 votes on the first count in the two main electoral districts in the area. That shows strong groundwork from the party and a strong network of councillors and workers who'll work on Horrigan's behalf to have her re-elected. Her stances, one foot in, one foot out of government, should help her to stem the anti-Green tide if one emerges during the election campaign, and I would imagine that Neasa Horrigan should be pretty safe in this constituency.
Around 12% of the vote the last time, and the feeling is that while that may be down, if it's even down around 8 or 9%, that she still may ultimately have enough to stave off the clatter of candidates coming in behind her, but it will be tight.
All right, we have a sitting incumbent in the form of Gary Gannon of the Social Democrats for that centre-left vote. There was a seat here for the Labour Party before in the form of Joe Costello, Senator Marie Sherlock running here, but advantage to the incumbent, Barry?
Well, Gary Gannon on around 10% of the vote in the last two elections. He would have felt relatively secure prior to the entry of Claire Daly in this contest. Interesting, Claire Daly saying in her statement announcing her candidature that she wanted to continue the independent socialist tradition in this constituency, going back to the likes of Tony Gregory and Maureen O'Sullivan. And Gannon will remember that Maureen O'Sullivan rose like Lazarus to take a seat at at his expense in 2016, still feel Gary Gannon perhaps might be relatively secure for that third seat. Labour in the doldrums in this constituency didn't do so well in the two local electoral areas, losing seats in the North East Inner City and Cabra Glasnevin. They field Marie Sherlock here, of course, prominent in the Oireachtas hearings into RTE as a senator for the party, was briefly a councillor, but at the moment no sign of a Labour pickup in Dublin Central from those I've spoken to back towards the dizzying heights when they were in the early to mid 20s with Joe Costello in 2011.
Looking at the independents, Cúin, of all of the candidates, is it a competition to see who stays ahead first and then see where the votes break?
Well, looking at independents in the race, we have Councillor Malachy Steenson, who was narrowly elected in the recent local elections. And Claire Daly, of course, will be the most prominent independent running in the race. Christy Burke, the former Sinn Féin councillor, who we also mentioned. Christy Burke has run 10 times for a Dáil seat in this constituency and has never succeeded in getting elected to Dáil Éireann. Claire Daly has been elected to the Dáil twice in other constituencies and should put in a strong performance in this constituency. I think at the end of the day, though, she will just about fall short. Her transfer patterns in the European elections where she lost out were very interesting. She was 1,000 votes or so behind Ciarán Cuff of the Greens when she was eliminated on count 16. And the main reason she was behind Ciarán Cuff was because the transfers that she got from Breed Smith of People Before Profit Solidarity were only about 1 in 4, and it was expected that she would do better than that. Had she done better than that, she would have stayed in the race. She also got transfers from very interesting places during the European counts. She got 737 transfers from Steenson. She did third best out of his transfers when he was eliminated. And she also got 1,221 transfers from Aisling Considine of Aintu. That was the second best of the 9 candidates left in the race from Aisling Considine's transfer. So I would expect Claire Daly will pick up the best amount of transfers from right-wing candidates getting eliminated from the race in Dublin Central, and will do reasonably well from left and far left transfers, but not as well as she would need to do to win a seat.
I still disagree with regards Malachy Steenson, though. It has been said to me, now this was prior to the late entry into the race of Claire Daly, that he was really in the shake-up for a seat. They looked to those local election results that we mentioned earlier on, his vote there, perhaps the result of Neil Ring as well, and they see maybe a platform in the northeast inner city. Perhaps hasn't been as anti-immigration the last few weeks, although he was on GB News expressing anti-immigration sentiments, where he claimed that the Irish media hadn't spoken to him in years, despite Steenson having a prominent role in a documentary on RTE television on the local elections. People also look at his European vote and say he could have a platform here. Involved in a lot of community groups, I'm told, WhatsApp community groups, as material appears quite a bit. But again, the dynamic between Steenson and Daly now is another layer of intrigue in this contest, how that will play out. Again, you say the transfers, but obviously diametrically opposed ideologically, and where Daly will go into the constituency to look for votes. So again, another independent in the field may shrink Steenson's chances, but he's not to be discounted from being in the final shake-up either.
Becoming competitive in this constituency is a little bit different to others, because you actually need fewer first preferences here than you need in many other constituencies to win a seat. In 2020, the candidate with the lowest number of first preferences who was still elected was Gary Gannon. He had 2,912 on the first count. And in 2016, as you mentioned, Maureen O'Sullivan started with 1,990 on the first count. It's an extraordinarily low platform from which to win a seat in Dáil Éireann. So I suppose Steenson will be targeting 2,000 to 3,000 votes on the first count, and Claire Daly will be doing the same. I can imagine Claire Daly getting 2,500 to 3,000 first preferences in this constituency. I just find it hard to imagine Malachy matching her.
Yeah. It was interesting as well, it was put to me from someone in Fianna Fáil, that they this remember the constituency where Bertie Ahern used to rule with the Drumcondra Mafia, getting over 40% of the vote I think in 1989, and over 45% of the vote around the inner city, that there was some hope maybe that Mary Fitzpatrick could get a surplus from Pascal Donoghue to help her get into the mix, which seems extraordinary given Fianna Fáil's once dominance in this constituency.
And I think, yeah, on one occasion Bertie Ahern taking in his running mate Cyprian Brady, much to Mary Fitzpatrick Chegaran. I think he got 900 surplus and something first preference
votes. The lowest ever, I think, wasn't it? Yeah.
Should Pascal Donoghue, given where the rest of the candidates in the constituency are in terms of the ideological political spectrum, should he be optimistic then of his chances of getting a seat, seeing as he has, as the candidate field is currently a near monopoly as an incumbent on the centre-right votes?
Yeah, definitely. He seems to have taken votes that would have belonged to Fianna Fáil in the past. And it's worth noting as well how the Bertie Ahern-backed candidate John Stevens got elected here in Cabra Glasnevin in the local elections. It was said to me by one or two locally in Dublin Central that this campaign could get quite bitter whilst you have the centre-left who might help each other on transfers on the ground during this campaign. You'll have rivalries between the Sock Dems and the Green Party. You'll have the Labour Party trying to muscle in, perhaps to be relevant in that duel. There's history perhaps there between Steenson and Gannon. There's obviously the Fianna Fáil dynamic and also Fine Gael as well. Pascal Donoghue, a controversy last year around how he failed to properly declare a donation of services with the erection and removal of election posters, and whether that might be dragged up by some of the other contenders and his challengers. So this one really is one to keep an eye on. It could get quite bitter.
Right. And history, of course, between Steenson and Sinn Féin, but we're going back 50 years on that one.
But I would say the indications are from the local elections with three Fine Gael councillors and one Fianna Fáil councillor elected around this constituency that Fine Gael's ground game is much stronger here, and I would fancy their chances well above Mary Fitzpatrick in this election.
And also the Greens as well. I think there's a shifting dynamic here as well, or a shifting demographic, which is worth pointing out, that may ultimately help them as well, or help Nasa Howrican.
Okay, it's the time you've both been avoiding now. Call it, Barry. What's your view of how the four seats in this constituency will break down?
I think Mary Lou MacDonald and Pascal Donoghue, if in cycling parlance, they're the breakaway group here, and they should go towards getting towards topping the poll on the first count. As we said, no real prospect of a second seat here for Sinn Féin on this occasion. The rest of the candidates, the group in the peloton, Gannon, Howrican, I'd throw in Fitzpatrick, Daly, Steenson as well. It's going to be very, very tight between all those. Remember, 800 votes between five candidates for three seats in 2020. This is going to be a cliffhanger. I still think the advantage is with the two incumbents, Gannon and Howrican, but the entrance of Daly is a real unsettler and may well starve Fitzpatrick of oxygen and may well stop Steenson getting into the final mixes again. But I still think it's advantage to the incumbents at the moment.
I still think Mary Lou MacDonald will come in on the first count with a smaller surplus than last time. That'll help Janis Boylan and Christy Burke in early counts, but they will still not come close to getting elected. At the end of the day, I think it's going to come down on the last count. Mary Lou MacDonald will already have been elected. Pascal Donoghue will get elected. And I think Nasa Howrican and Gary Gannon will just about pip Mary Fitzpatrick and Claire Daly, who will be in the hunt for the last seat. I think that Mary Fitzpatrick will go out before Claire Daly and will elect the others.
And as I say, we are still without the full field declared, but of course we'll update that one as we go. We'll leave it there for this one. Barry, you'll be back with us for an update after nominations close. Our thanks to Cormac Burke for all his research. Ruth Kennington was on sound, and our producer Alistair McConnell. And remember to tune in to RT Radio 1 on results weekend and across RTE television and all our digital platforms for full coverage of all 43 constituencies as the news comes in.
Know your constituency. The RTE Radio 1 Guide to General Election 2024.
Now we're back in the podcast studio. Barry Lennon is here again. Since we recorded our last conversation, we've got the date of the next general election. Nominations have closed. So can you give us an update, Barry, on where things stand now in Dublin Central?
Only one place to start here, independent Gerry Hutch, also known as the Monk. Now, this column had been floated for a few weeks, but only confirmed in early November after Hutch left custody in Lanzarote, where he'd been detained for suspected money laundering. He's been up polls himself in the constituency, hanging posters above those of Mary Lou MacDonald, a van going around blaring his name and calling him quote-unquote the people's choice. He's been visiting boxing clubs, asking businesses to display his literature, although he hasn't, I'm told, had big teams
Times out canvassing, and some of his posters have apparently gone missing, perhaps being kept as a souvenir by local youths. Now, some in the constituency aren't impressed, describing his candidature as a stunt, but there's no doubt that from those I've spoken to, he has some momentum at this point around the North Inner City, not least through his media appearances. He, of course, spoke in a well-publicised podcast with Nicola Tallant of escaping two murder bids, being on the run, mediating between Daniel Kinahan and his murdered nephew Gary, and also his battle with the Criminal Assets Bureau. So the million-dollar question, what sort of vote will Hutch get? Well, he's likely to take a small number of votes from the Social Democrats, Gary Gannon, who was inner city based, but now perhaps tends more towards the Cabra Glasnevin end of the constituency. The pair have already crossed swords during the campaign, Hutch saying TDs in the area have done shag all, Gannon querying whether Hutch knew of the work politicians had to do to keep the lights on at Hutch's own boxing club, Corinthians, the base of Kelly Harrington. But senior figures at Corinthians then coming out saying the club wouldn't be there but for Hutch. Now, veteran political sources say Hutch's geographic base for votes is quite narrow, stretching, if you know it, from Newcommon Bridge into the city and from Dorset Street as far down towards the canal. To put a sort of a figure on his potential vote, well, independent Daryl O'Callaghan might have tended to some of the same area in the local elections, and he pulled over 500 first preferences. So it's not inconceivable Hutch could push towards 1,000, while one local government figure tallies his potential vote as 1,800 first preferences, and that would really put him into the mix. His entry into the race, though causes headaches for independent Malachy Steenson, who pulled 9% out of the North Inner City in the locals and as much as 17% apparently in the European elections, and he may not be as far up the pecking order now, but if Steenson could finish ahead of Hutch, he might still be a player here, while veteran councillor Christy Burke, whom we mentioned, he's not in this race after all, which is a positive for both men. Now, the other late entrant into the race is Claire Daly, and she's mounting a huge campaign in her new constituency. The head of Bohemians, Daniel Lambert, has been spotted hanging posters for her in Phibsborough. Joe Mooney is out constantly for her in East Wall, and Councillor Kieran Perry in Cabra, while the former TD Maureen O'Sullivan, who took the old Tony Gregory seat, is at the heart of the campaign, and there's still loyalty to Gregory locally, I'm told, even 15 years after his death. So this perhaps would have been a vote Gannon would have hoped for, but Daly's campaign seems very well resourced with tailored literature for different areas in the constituency, and many political watchers in Dublin Central are now calling her for a seat. So this could potentially leave the last seat between the two incumbents, Gary Gannon and the Green Party's Nasa Hourican, and that contest could well be decided by the transfers of Labour's Marie Sherlock and Fianna Fáil's Mary Fitzpatrick, who indeed has had a historic cooling of relations between her and former Taoiseach Bertie Ahern. Ahern has been out canvassing for her. Now, the Sock Dems are confident those transfers will go Gannon's way, but those on the ground in Dublin Central think they'll favour Nasa Hourican. So this could be very tight. And all this going on has Sinn Féin perhaps a little apprehensive in their party leader's backyard. There's no suggestion Mary Lou MacDonald will lose her seat, as she still might be towards the top of the poll, but she's been given East Wall to canvass rather than her running mate Janice Boylan, and her decision to visit a school in Cabra after the party manifesto launch has also perhaps raised a few eyebrows amongst her political opponents locally. But the full list of candidates here are included in constituency profiles on the RTE News website, and you'll find them at rte.ie/constituencies.
Know your constituency. The RTE Radio 1 Guide to General Election 2024.